This week's episode of the FitCast is brought to you by TurbulenceTraining.com. Boost muscle growth and blowtorch body fat at TurbulenceTraining.com. Also by BlackStarLabs.com. You can save 10% on every order when you use the code FIT10 at checkout. That's FIT10. Throw that in the comments section at checkout to save 10%. And also by RobertsonTrainingSystems.com. High octane corrective exercise and performance enhancement at RobertsonTrainingSystems.com. Welcome to this week's episode of the FitCast. This is episode number 91. I'm Kevin Larrabee, and along with me this week is, first off, the normal guy, Jimmy Smith, who we don't care about him. But we got Jen Heath back.
We care about Jimmy. We do.
Really?
Jimmy, I care about you.
Appreciate it.
Yes, I'm back. Hi, everyone.
Well, I'm pumped to have Jim back because, like I mentioned before, Jimmy's been kind of getting out of line, and I do my best. I'm trying to do my part in trying to, hold the beast back within Jimmy. But I feel like this is something I can't do on my own, and we've been getting, emails, people like, don't go off topic so much, stay on topic, and...
You act like that's my fault.
I know, it's probably mostly mine, but either way, it's great to have Jen back, and... You know what, Jen, how you been? How you doing?
I'm doing a lot better. I got sick over and over and over again for a while there, and it was really wearing on me, but I'm good now.
It's good. It's good. Glad to have you back. Seriously. We need some estrogen. I mean, Jimmy provides a little bit, but we need, the real deal.
I do have a normal dose of estrogen.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, quickly... There's one a somewhat new story that I wanted to.
Yeah. What are you doing on bodybuilding sites, huh, pal? I thought Kevin was anti-bodybuilding. Now I see the notes.
I saw this on JP Fitness or on.
Yeah, this was big. This was big on in a lot of the bodybuilding areas. Go ahead, you can talk about it, Kevin.
Hold on, I'm trying to. I can't open it up. Do you want to talk about it?
The headline is from bodybuildingweekly.com, but it's reported a lot of places. Over the counter painkillers increase muscle mass. This is something that they found at the Human Performance Lab at Ball State. So big shout out to Mike Robertson from Ball State University. But they're just finding that these inflammatory reducers actually helped muscle mass, and subjects gained size in their quadricep muscles. In the past, we had thought that these decreased muscle mass because they decreased the local inflammation from training. But now this actually is some pretty cool research. I read it as soon as it came out. It's awesome stuff.
So are you going to start popping,
No, I'm not going to do that at all. I had a time period in college where, because basketball was so demanding on me, I probably took maybe 12 Advil a day for a while. It was bad. So after that, I'm not doing that anymore.
Well, I'll throw the link in the show notes and people can take a look, but that's just, I thought that was pretty, pretty freaky. That was going on. Something else I also want to mention, I got an email from someone, or I think it might be in our mailbag, but people saying that they missed the newsletters I'm back up with, I have a new newsletter submission website or whatever it's called, and now I have the form is fixed on the website, so if you want to go to thefitcast.com, you can sign up for the newsletter, and if you're not getting it now, it's probably because you have to re-sign up for it. So just head to thefitcast.com and just throw in your name and your email address and you'll start getting it again. But that's that, and you know what, we're just gonna jump right back into the mailbag. So for the first question, we got it coming from Andrew. He says, as for, we were talking about something else, but it says, I was wondering what you two thought about letting the knee travel forward over the toe in a lunge, split, squat, etc. It seems that the whole, quote, don't let the knee go beyond the toe has been a myth perpetuated by the sports and fitness community and needs to be debunked. There is no solid research out there that shows that it is harmful. In fact, it is more beneficial for your knee to travel through its complete range of motion. Just wanted to get your take on it. Keep it up, guys, and good work. And I guess he wants to send that to you first, Jimmy.
Yeah, that's actually a really good question. I'm happy somebody finally wrote in with that so we could debunk that myth. There's actually a research study, if you look at it, I believe it was by Fry, F-R-Y, out of the University of Memphis a couple years ago, which showed that in a squat, if you limit how, you know, the anterior tibial translation, so basically how far the knee goes over the toes, you actually put more pressure on the hip and the back. And I deal with this with people all the time, especially ACL people, be so concerned about letting the knee cross the toe. And it's just really a BS myth. Like, it doesn't exist. Like, look at a lunge, okay? If you're lunging out with your right leg forward, what's your back leg doing? Your knee's over your toe there, mm-hmm. and that's a lot more awkward of a position than the front leg of a lunge is, right? You know, because some people, how they do lunges, their back leg is so contorted, and no one ever cares about that knee problem. Also, every time we go over a stair, right, every time we're walking up steps, like, the knee travels over the toe. Every time, you know, we go to the bathroom, the knees are over the toes. I understand it's a little bit different when we have loads on our back, but at the same time, that's not much of a concern. Like, I just worked with an ACL guy last week. It was his fourth time doing therapy with me since he had ACL surgery, you know, and he was still having problems going down steps. I did some targeted glute medius work for him, and his knee didn't bother him. It's about activating muscles. Now, if our knee's carrying over further over our toes, we can do one of two things. We can either stop the movement from going over our toe and work in a partial range of motion, which is not beneficial in that case. Or the more obvious condition is we can lengthen or, you know, stretch out the quad. You know, the knee's going to go over the toe when the quad is tight enough. Its quad is too tight, rather, and too overactive. So let's lengthen the quad. Let's focus on increasing the glute strength. And the ankle mobility, and let's not be so concerned about knee over the toes. Just remember that it happens so many times in the course of our day that we shouldn't be concerned about it happening in a split squat or a lunge.
Jen, how do you look at that?
Same way as Jimmy. And I know that sounds like, okay, I'm disagreeing with Jimmy. but I do agree with Jimmy. I can't remember the exact study that I read that helped me at least a long time ago understand this. But that actually with a load, the most unstable position for the patella and the knee, the actual kneecap, the knee joint, is actually at a 90-degree angle. So if you are if you're squatting a load and you only stop at for squats, well, this, I guess there's two things I want to say about this, because I think of the two the same. We're talking about lunging, so sorry I got off topic there. But on lunging, the most unstable position for the front leg would actually be at 90 degrees. So it's not necessary. You're actually in more danger, you know, depending on what movement that you're doing, to have your knee right at 90 degrees like that. And I find that the injury, where it got taken out of control in saying, oh, you shouldn't have your knee over your toe, is that in high-impact exercise, non-weighted high-impact exercise, like in an aerobics class, people would be lunging high-speed knee over toe, and they're getting injuries. So mm-hmm. I think that it's, that's where it's more applicable. And then I'm just going to – let me go back to the squat. My brain kind of got off on that one tangent, because I've always found this very interesting, that you hear that you're not supposed to go below parallel, that you don't want to – decrease that angle beyond 90 degrees when you're squatting, but that's actually the most unstable position and the most susceptible position that your kneecap can be in for injury. So it's actually good if you can train your body to stay in a constant motion and actually dip down below 90 degrees and then come back up. So definitely agree there, and it's definitely just more for a high impact, I think.
Jim, we're getting some mad feedback.
Really?
Can you hear that, Jimmy?
Yeah, I got it.
All right, never mind, it's fixed. But I do have like a client that's like 6'4", and he's all just length. And like that, like if I couldn't have his knee go over his toes, then we wouldn't be able to do squats or lunges. We just wouldn't be able to do them. So that's one way to look at it. But it's nice to see.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Kim. I thought you were done.
Oh, I was pretty much done. I was just going to talk out of that.
I just think that, again, now you said your client's 6'4". So when we're dealing with tall people, as you know, I obviously know I'm 6'6". You know, it's going to be slightly different than if we were with a average, you know, 5'10", 6-foot person, because our tibias are so much longer than normal people. So our mechanics are going to be different. So the mechanics of a 6'4" person squatting is going to have some slight differences than a 6-foot person squatting because of the length of the femur, because of the length of the tibia, and even, you know, the length of the spine, rather. So especially, like, I actually don't back squat anymore, and this happened maybe 6 weeks ago. I had my right knee had been getting some local swelling because I had played on a basketball court. Kev, did you ever play on those rubber courts?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They're horrible. They're absolutely horrible. Like, I never had injuries till I started playing on them, and my right knee got swollen, so I stopped squatting for a while, and then season ended. There's still some small swelling in there. I would go and squat, and then both my knees would just be a wreck on the squat. You know, and this is using pure body weight, pure, you know, unloaded squats. So I actually had to get away from it, and I'm really rethinking how I squat myself and how I squat and recommend to other people that are tall. Like, I just think they should stay away from it a little bit more. Maybe front squat and really just up the split squat volume. So that's just for the tall people that are listening, if there's anybody.
Sure, there's plenty of them. We have the next question coming from Jeff. He says, Kevin, Jen, and Jimmy, I just started listening to the show about a month ago. I listened to a bunch of the old episodes, and I didn't hear you talk about mountain biking. I'm 38 and trying to get faster at cycling. What is the best way for me to get a big motor? I guess that means get faster. I work out 5 to 6 times a week already and do cardio at lunch when I can, since my job is really cool about that. He says he's 5'11 and 200 pounds. What advice can we give him? And I think, first off, I mean, I really should probably reread these and email people back just for clarification, but we don't know if he's talking about faster for a distance time or for a short period of time, but I'm guessing he's going for distance. And you know what, we're going to throw that to Jen.
Okay, person I'm going to use as a comparison is slightly different demographic, but you're working out 5 to 6 times a week. I would be curious to know what volume and is going on there with the weight training. I had a girl who was about 30, triathlete, and so not mountain biking, but biking in general. So if we're talking about distance biking, she was increasing her times once I got her to stop weight training that much. She just didn't need 5 to 6 times a week of weight training. So I took her off of the volume and the frequency and put her on more of a 3 day a week schedule. And we focused on a little variety, some heavy, some moderate, and then some endurance weight training. One of each per week, with some good recovery on the legs, because in order to be able to get going for a longer period of time, legs have to be able to recover. And what happened with all of her areas of the triathlon was that she got faster on her cycling, she was faster on her running, she could propel herself better on her swimming. It was just the sheer frequency of training that she was doing too much. So that was the first thing that came to mind. What are you thinking along those lines, Jimmy?
I kind of think. Oh, that's some pretty feedback.
Do we get that feedback, Jen?
It's not me. I'm not doing anything. I've just got my headset on, and like it's on a moderate volume, and I've got my things plugged into the right places.
No, we're gonna blame it on you.
That's weird.
It's odd hearing my voice, but okay, that's better. I think we might just need you to turn down the mic whenever you're not speaking.
Yeah, that might be. I tend to agree there. I think people that are in any type of, you know, mountain biking, cross-country skiing, those type of sports that are really aerobic dominant in their legs, as opposed to, you know, anaerobic athlete like a basketball player, they're going to really have to drop their volume to get more speed, to perform better on the bike, because they can't recover. And because it's so aerobic dominant, you know, so what do we do? Do we train high rep squats? At times, yes. But I focus more on building the pure anaerobic strength. I'm getting lower because we know that's going to give us a stronger base of our pyramid. So I focus on, you know, a little more lower rep working and that thing. But I kind of agree with Jen said. I think we need to lower the volume. And I also, for mountain bikers, I wouldn't focus too much. I don't think they're focusing enough on forearm strength to grip the handlebar, because we know that if they don't have enough stability and enough strength in their forearm as they grip the handles of the mountain bike, their shoulder's going to lack stability. And yes, I've worked with people that ride horses, that ride mountain bikes, that do those type of sports that have bad shoulder problems. Why are they having shoulder problems? Because they don't have steady enough grip. They go over bumps. They end up breathing more from their chest than they do from their diaphragm. They have shoulder problems. So that's just another thing to add in.
And I'm not going to add anything because I have no experience with clients like that. So,
So just with it, I mean, everyone is so individual, but just that's the most general thing I can think of is that most people who are, like Jimmy said, are doing the endurance sports, either they're weight training too often or they're doing cardio too often. And from what I see here, the cardio is only at lunch. So I'm thinking like 5 times a week, 30 minutes, that's not going to be a problem. And that's not going to be overtraining, but 5 to 6 weight training sessions a week, just in general, any way to cut down the frequency and volume of training and just maybe be a little bit more specific per session, like Jimmy was saying, go low and then maybe an endurance day or something like that. That has tended to help all of my clients in this situation, so that would be something to consider.
Oh, that was funny. How'd you leave that out?
Well, now people think they missed out on something because I just recorded what you said.
They do
because
you were a jerk.
All right, we're just talking about Jen's. We have to have Jen mute her mic. That's what we're talking about. So we're going to keep moving on in the mailbag. We got a lot of questions. So next one comes from Elliot, and he says, "Is it worrisome if I frequently hear cracking in my knee, even though I'm young, have no knee pain at all, got good glute strength and activation and good flexibility?" And he says he can full Olympic squat. Knees never cave in. He says, "P.S. He says, "I miss getting the weekly email letting me know about the upcoming guests and Fitcasters, and we do have a pretty big name for a guest next week. Cross my fingers." So, Jimmy, do you want to take that?
Yeah, if you wanted to be a host and pitch that question to me, sure, I'll pick it up.
Gotta turn my phone off.
I'm just playing with you. Yeah, I wouldn't be too concerned about it. I mean, it might be some crepitus, you know, in the joint, which is just more or less, to really simplify it, kind of like arthritis. It could be some joint wear and tear.
Oh, sorry, Jimmy. I got to jump in. People, I got a bunch of emails. I got like 5 emails about people were talking about like nephrology, and that was the study of the kidneys, not vegetables.
Really?
Yeah, and it makes sense.
Well, sure.
Because, I mean,
it had something to do with vegetables, though, because the nephrologist studied the effect of antioxidants and et cetera, on the kidney. So, I mean, I was wrong, but I knew where I was going with it.
Okay, I just had to call you out, or people would say that I wasn't calling you out.
I was the only one who had something wrong to say?
Continue. Sorry.
Okay. No, all I'm saying is it might be some crepitus, you know, kind of like arthritis between the joint. I mean, I'm 25, and my knees crack. My ankles crack all the time because I have a lot of scar tissue in there. I've sprained them a lot. I wouldn't be too concerned about it, like you said, unless you really have chronic pain with them. You know, you do your glute activation work. If you have proper structural balance in your program, probably a 2-to-1 hamstring to quad ratio, then you'll be okay. I'd focus a little more on, you know, cleaning up the IT band TFL with some foam rolling, some stretching there, and then really just doing your VMO stuff for your knee and your ankle mobility stuff. Other than that, I think you're fine.
Jen, do you have anything to add to that? You can feel free to demute.
Okay, great. I'm demuted. I'm gonna say the exact. Jimmy hit it. So I mean, I have the same thing. I have crackling. I have, you know, whatever from being active my whole life. And you know, there's nothing. If you're pain free, just because you hear a few crackles and pops, I wouldn't be too alarmed.
So we don't need to, you know, call the police if we hear a knee cracking at the gym. Call an ambulance.
No. To like carry syringes of cortisone or anything. I mean, I think you'll be good.
All right, then I guess I wasted a bunch of money. So we'll continue on to the next question that comes from Josh. It's actually our last question before we have a roundtable this week answering your request for a roundtable discussion. So we have one last question. I really enjoy the show. I started listening around episode 30 and have not missed one since. I love to run, and I am going to compete in a 5K this summer. I usually do 1 sprint session, 1 tempo session, 1 long run session a week. I also train with weights 4 days a week. How much specific leg work should I do on top of my running? Right now I do squats 4 sets of 6 one day and jump squats 3 sets of 10 on another day. I don't want to overtrain my legs, but I want to maximize muscle growth for speed and endurance. Any information you guys can give me would be greatly appreciated. I learn something new every week from you guys and your guests. Keep up the great work, from Josh. So I'm gonna throw that to Jen.
Okay, the first thing I would say is make sure you're absolutely gauging your recovery very carefully. There's a lot of sessions going on there, but the best thing for a person like this who's weight training three, four times a week, they're already working their legs three or four times a week, and then the three running sessions, just make sure they're all on the same day. Like, do a sprint session and a weight training session at separate times on one day, and then take a day off. And then the next day, you want to do another one of your running sessions and weight training sessions. So 1 to 2 days off in between each of those is going to do worlds of help for your speed and endurance there on the legs. And then another thing is most, we always seem to, well, we don't forget to, but I'd like to just add it back in there, that this kind of thing is not just dependent on training, it's so much also dependent on diet. So on those days where you're training legs and making sure you've got your days in between to recover, just make sure you're eating plenty. Plenty of protein every 2 to 3 hours, getting in your carbs right around that training. And if you're having two sessions a day, either if they're back-to-back, you've got your pre-training carbs, your post-training carbs. I'm a big fan of that. I know a lot of people say that you don't need them. I'm a big fan of the carbohydrates around the training. So, and then the rest of the day, just make sure you're getting in lots of proteins and healthy fats all day long. And don't ever cut yourself short on food on the days that you are trying to increase that speed and strength and endurance on your legs. So that would be my main point right there.
Jimmy, what do you got?
Am I okay to talk?
There you go.
I don't want to talk over anyone. I pretty much agree with what Jen said there. There's really nothing I could add to that. I think that was pretty well stated, so I'm just going to leave it at that.
I'm going to agree, and I have no experience with endurance athletes, so...
Well, no, just endurance athletes do need... they're going to need a little more carbohydrates than most people, obviously.
Yeah.
But they also have to really focus on building muscle mass. I mean, endurance athletes get hurt so many times because they don't... they can't really take advantage of their stretch shortening cycle. So, I mean, add a little more plyometric working on your lower body days as well. So,
very good. We're going to take a quick break. But remember, if you want to send in questions for the mailbag, you can just send them to questions with an S at the end at thefitcast.com. And we will answer as many as we can every week. We're going to take a quick break right now. And we'll be right back with a roundtable on how to get ready for that beach weather that's coming up. We'll be right back. For our roundtable this week, the question that we got, it's crunch time. You have a client come to you with a goal of losing 10 to 15 pounds by July. We'll say June or July just because that's just to people want to lose the weight. How's the best way to attack this? And Jimmy, I don't want to hear the everyday go lift and do intervals. I don't want to hear that. Give me some insider shit. Or stuff. Insider stuff.
Really, I know you don't want to hear it.
About this, Jimmy. I want the information that you use for your clients.
That is a lot of the information I use for my clients. I mean, something I could add right away.
I'm going to put it this way. How do you feel about doing higher rep work?
I think it's beneficial at times. Mm-hmm. I mean, especially if you're talking fat loss, I mean, I think higher rep work needs to be in there, and we'll produce more lactic acid, you know, and then we'll get some positive benefits out of that. We'll also increase
blood,
you know, because muscle contractions in of itself require glucose, you know, they take up glucose. So, you know, higher rep training will take up more of that. Another tip I can give is increase your you know, non-exercise activity. So basically what that means is, you know, you're at the gym, you're doing your cardio, go home, and a couple hours later, if you have the time on the weekend, you know, go do yard work or you know, do anything to keep you moving. You know, don't put the lawnmower on automatic. You know, do things like that. Just increase your non-exercise activity. It take ingest more food, You know, so eat more whole food. The thermic effect of feeding, we know that. Obviously, body type factors in. Are they a mesomorph? Are they endomorph? Are they ectomorphic? There's going to be little things we're going to do differently for those people. You know, consume your lean proteins. Consume a little bit more of healthy fats. I would eliminate carbs post workout in this case, personally. But yeah, I just think that that's the way to go. So that, I mean, I know that's not everything you wanted to hear, Kevin, but that's just...
No, it's not. I'm disappointed. You're fired.
Considering the limit... We had limited information to work with. If you give me more information, I'll give you more answers.
Jimmy, don't you think that all the people in this category that are women that want to lose this, don't you think that they should go outside and push their lawnmowers?
Yeah. If they want to do that, I know you're a fan of that, so...
I am a fan of pushing the lawnmower. Okay, so if you want to lose 10 to 15 pounds by June or July, get out and push your lawnmower. No, can I
kind of weird laugh was that?
Okay, so here's, you want to hear what I would do?
Yes, no. I do. And Jimmy, don't talk so we don't have that feedback. Jen, the floor is yours.
Well, it would obviously depend. Anyway,
good answer.
I'm just kidding. No, I mean, of course it's going to depend on what they were doing before, but that's the case in every case. If you're a good trainer, it's going to depend on what they were doing before. But I have a healthy individual come to me that needs to lose 10 to 15 pounds by June or July. I would say, first thing, no cheats, because I'm a big fan of a cheat meal every week. Huge fan of a cheat meal. I do a big kick-ass workout, and you get a cheat meal. I do that every week. I do that all the way through my prep, clear through till like the last month or 6 weeks if I'm feeling super strict. But I would cut it out, no cheats at all. And I would give them a list of foods to choose from that had maybe like 10 or 15 protein sources, 10 or 15 carbohydrate sources, and like maybe 5 to 10 fat sources. And I would just say, this is it. This is the simple list of foods that you can choose from. I've got plenty of ideas on how to get creative with it. You know, these are your simple foods that you're going to be able to eat. And I would make sure that they had a minimum of 3 weight training sessions per week, if not up to 5 or 6. And then a couple of days of hardcore cardio. I mean, to where you're doing it for like 45 minutes to an hour. And I would suggest that the first 20 minutes of all of those cardio sessions be interval training, 30, 60s, even 120, 120s, whatever you're in the mood for, just to keep it interesting so that you are interval training for the first 15 to 20 minutes of your cardio session, and then keep burning it out. Finish it off with steady state. And I would just say, if you want to lose weight that fast, you have to be willing to just give it all up and make it your first priority, because a lot of people want a pill, or they want to do 30 minutes of walking in the morning when they first wake up and think, no, it's not going to happen. You have to get hardcore if you want to lose that weight.
Okay, I need to mute her mic. Oh, and this is... See, Jimmy, that's bringing it to the table. She brought it.
Shut up.
And you didn't bring it. No, I'm serious. That
I'm serious. You can kiss my ass.
Jen Heath brought it to the table this week. She laid the smackdown on your ass. And sure. We got some great, like, that's some good stuff. Put it this way, she brought an example client. And I'm thinking that a lot of our listeners are probably pretty healthy right now, but they're probably just looking for those little things that they can do. She brought it.
Do I need to hang up on you again like last week?
No.
Oh.
Listen.
No, I'm talking about Kevin. I'm talking about hanging up on Kevin.
I know, but listen, guys, hey, I wasn't bringing it to put anyone down. Jimmy, I know. Even I wouldn't hesitate to have Jimmy as my coach in 2 seconds. I mean, I'm sure that I could give him any goal of mine, and he'd be able to look at where I was at and say, Jen, I want you to do this, this, and this. I have no doubt that I would achieve it with Jimmy as my coach. So
I agree.
Jimmy has some good stuff, too. But I'm just saying, I mean, if you want to lose that weight, if you want to lose weight that fast and you want to get lean that fast, there is no cheating. There is no easy route. It's not easy all the time to get ripped. So if you want to get ripped, you have to be simple and steady and consistent, and you just have to suck it up. When you want brownies, you just don't eat them. You know, it's just the way that it is. I'm a big fan of when you're gone on a long-term weight loss program, long-term recomposition program, I'm all about fitting in a brownie. You've got your caloric limit. You've got your carbohydrate limit. Try to have it after your training. Even though fat's not the best after training, that's fine. If you have to have a brownie or a miniature candy bar, you want to eat it when you're done, fit it in. Fit it in. Have no guilt. You know, you might not lose a whole pound of fat this week, you might lose 0.7 pounds of fat this week, so at least you're still losing fat. But if you really want to go gung-ho, there's no room for errors. And it takes special people to be able to do that. And when my family is not all about this, so they call me special ed because they're like, yes, take something special, use special education. I'm like, hey, that's not fair. But then again, I'm the only one that's looks really lean. You know, so there it is. Either you do it or you don't.
Good call. And see, I'll add a couple things. I think Jen and Jimmy covered it very well. And I want to make it clear, I'm a big fan of Jimmy. When I have questions, I go to Jimmy. Jimmy knows this. I call Jimmy. Jimmy.
This is the Jimmy Love Fest,
and
I like it.
You know what? I'm going to be JimmySmithTraining.com.
Bam.
Dropping bombs. Dropping bombs. But the only thing like I would probably add is I have a client that's trying to cut weight right now, and we're doing sled work twice a week, and she loves it, and it beats the crap out of it. It's great in place of doing like intervals. It's nice way to change it up, and it's very metabolically demanding. So I definitely throw this in there. And also I'm a big fan of the barbell complexes. If you can, I mean, be inventive. You don't need to go online, look for a program. Think of some exercises you do with a barbell and put them together in a set of like four or five. Jimmy, you sound like you want to say something. Are you all right?
I don't want to say anything. I'm just hanging out. I'm just relaxing.
All right. Well, we made a promise that we're going to have a great jam-packed show this week. We have no tomfoolery, as Mr. General Corps says. So what we're going to do is...
We need tomfoolery on this damn show.
Not this week. We're going to stay classy, San Diego. And we're going to wrap it up just like that. So... It's been a while, but we're going to see if we can pull this off. So for episode number 91, I'm Kevin Larrabee.
I'm Jen Heath.
I'm Jimmy Smith.
And it's so great to have the family back together. Thanks, everyone. You can check out... Jim? You just totally ruined my wrap-up, but you can... Oh, I'm flustered now. So you got to check out theficast.com. You got to check us out on iTunes. Please submit reviews. You can also check out jenheath.com, also fatlosspros.com, and jimmysmithtraining.com, jimmysmithtraining.blogspot.com.
.net,
fatlosspros.net. .net.
You have a .net, man? Oh, wow. It's old school.
Jimmy's better than everyone else, so.
Available, so
you have a .net, man? Oh, wow. It's old school.
Jimmy's better than everyone else, so.
Available, so I had
to... You're such an ass, Kev.
But you can't get a .com? I gotta... God.
Kev, how's your posture, bud?
I'm leaning for it. I shouldn't be doing that, but it's actually great. You know what? I can't wait to see you again. When are we gonna see each other?
Whoa, come on, man. Step back and comment.
Because,
Kevin, are you internally rotated again?
Kevin looks like damn Grandpa Munster.
No, I look fantastic.
To a beautiful we were at a fantastic John Berardi seminar. Kevin started throwing chairs because we were making fun of his posture. Ridiculous.
I think you will be pleasantly surprised. I've run with the ball that Eric Cressy handed off to me with the training that we did with him this past summer, and I look big and strong, and you'll see, like, I have a shoulders, I have a back now, which is nice.
You have any shoulders?
I have shoulders. I found them.
Do you?
No. Jimmy called right. I think you just said I have a shoulders.
You
that
did.
Was awesome, Kevin.
I do have a shoulders, so. You can quote me on that, and I don't know, dude. I'm feeling good. I'm as strong as I've ever been. I don't have any pain in my body, which I'm happy about. And that's about it. Just that push for the summer right now. Like, that's why I thought it was good to have this discussion. I was able to pick some things off your guys' discussion, so it was as good for me as it was for the audience.
Yeah, that starts.
I know.
Soon.
Yeah, yeah, and I think we'll probably see each other come perform better, Rhode Island.
Yeah, it's June.
It's in June?
It's in June.
Yeah, it's like a month and a half away.
Are you guys getting together without me in June?
You can come down.
Dude, are you coming to Cass's wedding?
I'm not.
Let's talk about this off air, yeah. Please.
Oh my god, I can't believe we're still doing a show. All right, so...
What a jerk.
Okay. I apologize, guys. I hope you enjoyed. That's bonus content for the listeners. So that's Fitcat's bonus. Thanks again for listening. Hopefully we'll bring the show back. Next week, I hope to have Chad Waterbury on the show. That's dropping the bomb. I'm talking with Chad. We're going to try to set up a time to do an interview. Chad's going to be coming on the show to talk about what he's got going on this upcoming summer and to answer your questions. So I will formally announce this hopefully in a newsletter when I get...
And wait, can I jump in quick, real quick, something serious? If you guys, because I know I get a lot of Fitcast listeners that say they're into like jujitsu and mixed martial arts and wrestling. Chad's really good with that stuff, so send some questions about that.
Definitely. And we've had questions about like people with mixed martial arts questions too, so...
That's what... Okay.
Yeah, well, I was just...
I'm glad Chad is on my product. Chad's a smart dude, and he's really cool also. I'll have to haggle him and make sure that he says yes.
Haggle?
He's the real deal. It's definitely, I think it'll be like it's the third time we had him on the show, so it'll be good. We're getting close to that episode number 100, so we're trying to pull out all the stops leading up to that. So, again, we're going to wrap this. We're going to wrap this up. We've been mumbling. So, that's it. Thanks, everyone. We're ending the show right now. Take care. We'll see you next week.